Welcome back. This is The Change Show with Simon Phillips. I'm here every week talking about how people can lead change in their own lives and help others do that as well. And recently, I met someone who I thought, well, just blew me away with her energy and enthusiasm. We met on a program I was running called Rediscover You, which was helping her and some of the other people on the program to rediscover that pull, if you like, inside of them that says, yes, this is me. This is what I want to do. This is the impact I want to have on the world. And one of the core elements of that was the GC Index. And we'll get around to that in the conversation. But just in terms of the program, this is one of the real stars. So it's a real privilege to introduce you to JC LaBouche. How are you doing, JC?
I'm good, thanks, Simon. That's a lovely intro. Thank you.
My pleasure. So, JC, just for the people listening, tell us a little bit about yourself and then we'll get into the conversation.
Well, Simon, I am currently a carer. I look after my mum. My mum's primary carer since for 8 years. But I have a 30-year background as a nurse, working in lots of exciting environments like prisons, police custody, drug rehabilitation. And also, I'm a bit of a poet, and I am a certified laughter yoga facilitator as well.
Of course you are. And what a diverse, I mean, that's the first impression, what a diverse set of things that you've done.
Yeah, I'm a bit, I describe myself as very much, I like a magpie. If I see a shiny thing or something that sparks a bit of curiosity, I've just got to dive in. So I love anything that encourages me to express myself creatively. But also, I'm quite I always have these ideas that burst through my head. So I'm always wanting to, pounce on those and see what happens.
Yeah. So that the astute listeners will be thinking, I'm hearing some game changer in there. That's a big part of your profile, isn't it?
I'm a very big game changer. Sometimes to my detriment, because I have all these ideas firing off. I found that very much in doing my poetry and just creating ideas. I used to be a relaxed kids coach. And what I did was go to schools and teach children relaxation, but using their imaginations. So we would just take all these journeys, like relax on a floating cloud or go on a magic ride with Aladdin's magic carpet. And that really is just so much brought out. Like, I'm always thinking of ideas, always, always, always. And thinking how to do things differently, to engage people in a different way. I like to be different. I like to be different. And anything that can help me do that, I love it.
But what I heard in there was a reason why you were being creative, and it relates back to your top proclivity, which is playmaker, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm very much a people person. Definitely a people person. And I just love, we're all very different, say it the same, but we all have that spark. And I love encouraging people to bring that side out of them. And just sort of, I have a phrase called, we are our number one resource. Mm. And we all are so much more resourceful and resilient than often we credit ourselves for. And often it takes someone else to see that in yourself. That's been my experience for sure. So I love to facilitate anything that empowers people to be their best self, to tap into those inner resources that we all have, but sometimes we forget that we have them. So yeah, it's very much about empowerment and supporting people so they can support themselves.
Yeah. So let's go back then through, and just sort of take a few steps through your career. Where do you think you can see these different playmaker and game changer proclivities, as we call them, of course, Where can you see them coming to the fore in the various activities that you've done throughout your career?
Well, certainly, I would say, right, regarding the game changer, like I said, with the relaxation with kids, regarding, I love to write, and I've been doing something called the Morning Pages for years, just daily writing without thinking about what you're writing.
Yeah.
And I realized that there's so much inside that I want to express, and through words, through spoken words, poetry. Oh, I even, check this out, I am a hoarder, but I have one of my prized possessions is a tatty old school book that I had when I was 7 with all my stories. All my child, you know, just the stories we used to do in school and the ticks and I got a lot of gold stars, but I used to love creative writing and storytelling. My dad had this old gramophone player, and I used to play his records and pretend that people on the records were inside. And I could used to imagine them singing inside. I remember my Michael Jackson, you know, the Jackson Fives. And then I used to, with all the song titles, I used to, in my head, create a play. So, you know, and so then all the song titles would link. So always, imagination for me is my escape and also my retreat as well. So the game changer has continued very much to what I'm doing now. And regarding the playmaker, certainly as a nurse, I'm realizing more and more, as a nurse, specifically working in the police custody environment, it really encouraged me to step up and to tap into those resources. I needed to know how to delegate. I needed to, really importantly, know how to communicate clearly and pass on, clear handovers to people. And also just service users coming in a very highly charged emotional state, just have that presence and that compassion, very much compassion, just to support them and hold space for them, often in very difficult, stressful situations. So it's very much about liaising with different services, coordinating, prioritizing my time, but all very much centered on keeping, my role was to keep people in custody, ensure that they were safe and their well-being was maintained. And when you've got cells of like 40 cells and you're the only healthcare professional there, it's quite a sort of bit of a juggling act. So different roles, different responsibilities.
Fantastic. So how did all this lead to laughter therapy? What was the start? What was the spark for that journey?
Well, it's the spark happened about 12 years ago when I was doing the relaxation for kids.
Okay.
I was looking for, first of all, I realized that I needed to be relaxed and create that presence. So I was doing all sorts of stress management, relaxation, exploring these different techniques, and having experienced pretty severe burnout as a nurse working in prisons, I also needed to maintain my own well-being. So I decided to go to a laughter yoga class, and I was kind of amazed at how much of a release it gave me. And I thought, oh, I could do this with the kids, and they loved it, very engaging. So I decided to do my training, and then I had a long period. I did a few live workshops. And then I had a long period where I joined the Met, working in police custody. And then life seemed to change, you know, it just seemed to change. My mother became ill. So I had a long, maybe 10 years or so, where I didn't do any of it at all, because those plans were put aside. Yeah. And working 12-hour shifts, day shifts, night shifts, I was kind of caught in a bit of a whirlwind. It wasn't until the gift of lockdown and I experienced myself, my mood sort of dip in a little bit, and I felt very restricted and cut off, as many of us did. And I realized once the lockdown has started to lift that actually my life as a carer is pretty much living in lockdown every day, and everything was online. So new possibilities opened up. I watched a film about Patch Adams, wonderful clown doctor in the USA, who believes that laughter, creativity, fun are intrinsic to our holistic health.
Yeah.
Which is very much part of my ethos. And then I found myself laughing out loud, just randomly watching a TV program. So it all kind of sort of threaded together, and I was approached by my local carer centre that said, do you fancy doing any online laughter? I thought, actually, not really done it online, but I know I need a lot more joy in my life. And to have that connection with others that I was experiencing through a lot of online activities in lockdown, I thought, you know what, if I'm delivering sessions, then I'm accountable to myself to deliver a bit of joy in my life. And it kind of snowballed from there. And the more I did it, the more I saw it as a possibility of, yeah, this does make an impact. So, yeah.
And interesting you use that phrase about lockdown, being that, you know, as you saw it as an opportunity, the gift of lockdown, because obviously there are lots of negative connotations that came with it. But equally, it did open up new avenues for people, new ways of thinking about stuff.
Yeah, definitely. You know, all of a sudden I was able to do activities that prior to lockdown, I was a lot more limited. You know, I did poetry events, did online dancing, which I still continue every week now. I did an acting introduction to acting course. I did a clowning course. I did a writing course, and lots of activities connecting with other carers. Mm. You know? And that was huge for me.
And that's been one of the magical things about our Rediscover You program, hasn't it? Is putting you all in touch with each other to hear each other's stories and get a sense of we're not alone in any of this, you know, and regardless of where we are in life, whatever challenges we're facing, we're never alone in those. And there's always somebody else out there going through a similar challenge that we can probably reach out to and connect and mutually support. So I totally agree with you on that. So tell us a little bit about a session, and if people are gonna sign up to the JC LaBouche Laughter Therapy session, what's ahead of them?
What's ahead of them? Okay, so I don't know if you know much about laughter yoga, but the essence is that remarkably our minds do not know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. So the essence of laughter yoga is to laugh for no reason. You don't have to rely on jokes. You don't even have to be in a good mood. It's all about doing laughter as an exercise to help you feel great. And in the process, you're releasing endorphins, which are the brain's happy chemicals to create a positive state of well-being, and you are connecting, even though via a screen, you're connecting with others. Anthropologists have researched laughter, and they have found that laughter has a purpose, a social purpose of bringing people together. And you know, when we laugh together, we fake laughter to create laughter. And tapping into our childlike beingness of being spontaneous, having fun, and just laughing with each other, not laughing at each other, but laughing with each other and improving our mental, physical, and social and emotional well-being. So again, this holistic model is so key. And the best thing, Simon, it's free. It's available. Laughter is available for us to tap into 24/7. It's everyone knows how to do it. Everyone can do it. And it's a universal language that includes so many people from different diverse communities. So for me, it's a no-brainer, really, to just do something like this and offer it as a service, especially for carers who I know, like me, often do feel alone and do feel disconnected and alienated from normal social activities.
Yeah. And what do you find are the biggest barriers that people have in your workshops? So they've come along, they're waiting to be impressed, if you like, sitting there, come on then, JC, what's all this about? What are the biggest challenges in getting them engaged?
Well, like I experienced at my first laughter yoga, giving ourselves permission to have fun and to feel free to maybe look a bit silly and just doing something different, that it does feel a bit strange. So I like to, at the start of a session, just encourage people to give themselves permission to be a bit silly, tap into that playful child that's always there. We all have it for life. So that's I would say that's the main thing. Fear of, fear of being judged, as being silly but you can't get it wrong. There's nothing to get wrong or right. So, and also I do like to add a lot to my sessions that our brain has mirror neurons. And what that means is that if we see someone smile or laugh, instinctively we will smile or laugh in response to that. So the more we ourselves as participants are laughing and smiling, we're encouraging other people. And at the end of the day, laughter is something that we give, but also something that we receive as well. So it's a win-win. And the fact that we're doing it to improve our well-being, reduce stress, help us feel more energized, there's lots of gains.
Huge gains. And as someone who works in the field of change and helping people to tackle change, being more resilient is a foundation for that. So if you're creating an environment in which they can loosen up, they can feel more empowered, more engaged with the world just through the medium of laughter, then they're going to be well on their way. So I can imagine that being incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, JC, who are your heroes growing up? Who are the people that, if you look back now, you can think, oh, maybe that's why I like doing some of the things that I like doing?
Gosh, just popped into my head. When someone asked me that, I think, but you know, one key, and maybe we're of the same genre age-wise, I don't know. But do you remember Play School?
I do.
Yeah, well, Floella Benjamin.
Wow.
Floella Benjamin, she was someone, I was reminded of this the other day, she was someone who was a brown-skinned lady, very colourful, and such a joyful, vibrant, playful character. Floella Benjamin was my absolute childhood hero. And she still is, because she's doing amazing things. Yeah. So Floella Benjamin was very key. But also the lady, Maya Angelou, poet Maya Angelou. It was her poem, I Rised, that encouraged me. That was, I went to a poetry course, and it was her poem that they played to us first at the first session. And I didn't know anything about her before then. But since then, having read and found out that she was an amazing activist, amazing leader in compassion, love, forgiveness. And she was also a single mother. She was a singer. She was a dancer. She was an amazing poet. And she spent a period of her childhood where she selectively chose to be mute. And that resonated with me hugely, because I was, you find it hard to believe, but I was incredibly shy as a child. As a 7-8 year old, I was incredibly shy. You know, I could barely look adults, it's mostly adults or people in authority, could barely look them in the eye. I felt very like very small. Even my writing was teeny tiny. And I through discovering creative things, that's completely brought me out of my shell. So when I found that out about Maya Angelou, that really was just like, wow, and look what she's gone on to do, and being just such a role model for social change and standing up for what she, having the courage to stand up. So my model for inspirational leaders is absolutely Maya Angelou. What an amazing woman.
She was. And it's funny you mentioned Floella Benjamin, because I was getting that energy from you in today's conversation. And I was going there in my head before I asked you.
Really?
Inspired you, because she was recently on like a Portrait Artist of the Year during the lockdown. And she's now, of course, Dame Floella Benjamin. Yeah, she is still as vibrant as ever. Yeah, still campaigning, still out there trying to support and help people. So I can see the appeal from your perspective. But Maya Angelou, an absolute icon. I mean, I quote Maya Angelou regularly in my leadership podcasts and my newsletters. I share her wisdom with people all the time, because she was just fantastic.
It's two of my favorite quotes, Simon, of Maya Angelou. Paraphrased is people may forget what you do, but they'll never forget how you've made them feel.
Yeah.
And the other one was, when I write, I like to have the words go into people's brains, and then from my brain and touch people's hearts, something like that. But those two I live by.
And the one that resonates for me is, never underestimate the impact that a small group of like-minded people can have. I'm paraphrasing, but it's in that genre. And I think that gives everyone hope, because we can all make a ripple. And that's maybe all we need to do to get moving.
Do you know, Simon, I remember, you started me off now, I'm going, ooh, but I remember when I worked at the prisons, when I was doing prison nursing, 3, 4, 5 years after, actually, and then I went to work in police custody. I had a gentleman that I needed to see, who needed to just been arrested. And in talking to him, doing his assessment, he said, I remember you used to work at the prison. That was 10 years ago. And he goes, I always remember you were one of the nice ones, you know? And I was just so touched by that fact that he remembered me. And the fact that he remembered how I was with him.
Yeah.
10 years later.
Absolutely. It's how you made them feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you resonate with people on that emotional level, it wires through to their brain in a very different way. And there's a greater level of attachment. So it's absolutely right. Brilliant. JC, we're going to have a quick break and then we'll come back. And I've got some even more personal questions to ask you. So we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is The Change Show with Simon Phillips and my very special guest, JC LaBouche. We've been talking all things game changer, playmaker, inspiration, Maya Angelou, Floella Benjamin, laughter therapy, police custody. Crikey, what haven't we talked about in the first half of this show? We've packed it all in. So, JC, thank you for being such a lively, entertaining guest. It's just been so easy for me so far. So this is where I make it really difficult for you. So what I like to think about is a time in your life where you were facing significant change. And in sharing that story, what I'd like you to focus on is what were the tools that helped you get through that? Because I think that's what the listener at home can tune into. And maybe if they're facing some challenges right now, maybe you've got some ideas for them about what helped you. That's usually really powerful. So can you think of something?
I can think of 2017. Up until that point, I was caring for my mum and sharing that role with my dad. And then my dad had a sudden illness. He had a stroke overnight, and which was quite severe. And the devastating result of that it just he created sudden onset of severe dementia. So for us as a family, it meant that dad wasn't able to, he needed care in a care home. So, and also it had an impact that I could no longer work, because dad was always here when I was able to go to work and do other things. So in the matter of 24 hours, the rug was completely pulled from beneath me and everything changed all of a sudden. So I found myself just caught in so many emotions, so many decisions, so much new lifestyle, a real period of grief. You know, grief for my dad, because my dad was no longer, it was just the shell of him. And that was extremely hard to come to terms with. I didn't realize it at the time, but all these things happening and all at once and no longer being able to work. So I found myself, and also seeing my dad not being able to communicate his needs. So I remember a time when I visited him in the hospital at those early days of that, and I just had a meeting with the nurses about his discharge plans, and hearing him from outside in the corridor just screaming and shouting and just being very distressed. And I just realized at that moment, I went back to my car and I just cried my eyes out, because I felt helpless. I wanted to help him and I just felt so powerless. Yeah. And I just vowed to myself, and I still got the words that I wrote, that I will be there for you. I will be your voice. You know, I will be your voice. And that, I found my voice in that moment, because all of a sudden I found myself really speaking up for what really matters. And it, you know, where before I might hold back, but it's like this matters. I am your voice. I have got my duty of care out of the love and protection that you've shown me. And it just really fired up a whole strong, empowered self that I've been sort of hiding in the shadows, I think, up until then, if I'm honest. So I really had to draw on a lot of those resources that unknowingly to me, that I had built up a whole, you know, years of personal development training. Mindfulness was key. Mindfulness, yeah. And creating a space in the chaos for me to ground myself and empty out. Needed a constant way of emptying out so many emotions going on. So I really drew on mindfulness, and also a technique for Vipassana, which is a meditation technique that focuses on seeing things as they are in the moment, and not pushing things away and not attaching yourselves to being in control, because all of a sudden a lot of things were out of my control. So just having the groundedness, and also thankfully at that point I'd been dancing Five Rhythms, which is a movement practice, and a wonderful, wonderful community of people. So space to cry on people's shoulders and completely release, space to release some energy, pent up energy and tension. So those are very key. And all the while writing, morning pages, I have stacks of journals, and I've started typing it up, and that is going to be some form of a book, or a lot of my poetry, a lot of my words that I use in my poems
come from there.
Yeah. I've got a particular poem that I call Unconditionally, and it actually maps my journey, the highs, the lows, the loneliness, the despair, the tears, the tantrums, but also the joy of, and the privilege of being able to support my parents, really important to me, and gratitude. I've been writing gratitude journals, three things every night that I'm grateful for. And I'm so happy that my list is getting longer and longer and longer. You know, it's just like the gas man came yesterday to fix our heating. It's like, oh, yay. Yeah. So lots of resources, like, and communities. Again, I've got a wonderfully supportive personal development community that I've been with for since 2009. And of course, in lockdown, we were able to connect even more, because I was able to go to their trainings online from, you know, in Malaysia, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and work until 1 o'clock. Yeah, crazy, but all possible. So again, thankful for the lockdown, for being able to, you know, continue those resources. Yeah.
Wow, what a list. What an amazing, you know, bundle of things there that you drew on to help you get through that process. And isn't it amazing how there's a certain personality of people that will do more for others than they'll do for themselves? So you said about finding your voice in that moment, but the motivation was to be your dad's voice. Mm. It wasn't necessarily to be your voice in that particular circumstance, but we'll do that because we're there for others. So that's your playmaker perspective coming through there. That's about being there for others first, and then
very much,
but backed up by, in your case, that focus also on maintaining your own personal resilience as well. Because it's a bit like I've often used on the show the analogy of the oxygen mask on the plane. You have to look after yourself first so that you're strong enough to look after the people around you. So it is that lovely combination in your example of looking after yourself by connection, by reflection, all those sort of personal restorative tools, if you like, so that you can then support the other people around you.
And also very much about other game changers being there for me.
Yeah.
Holding that space for me. So again, that win-win thing, it's just people working together and different qualities coming together, pieces making the whole. And so, yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. Thank you, JC. That was an amazing example of how all of these tools are so helpful. I think sometimes if you're not aware of them, you know, you can feel stuck. And actually, there's a bit about exploring and using all of the tools that are available to us. Just get onto the internet and go and search for these things, because they're all there. All of humanity is out there on the internet, and you just have to start connecting. So brilliant. Thank you very much. Fantastic. We're going to take a quick break now. Amazing time we've had here in this interview. So thank you for bringing so much energy to the Change Show. It's been a real...
Oh, thank you, Simon, for inviting me. I've loved it. You know, I like to talk. You know me. So how you've done a good job in containing me.
So. Wonderful. So tell the listeners at home, if anybody wants to get in touch with you to talk about laughter therapy or any of the aspects that you've talked about today, how can they do that?
So the best way to get in contact with me is via my LinkedIn profile, JC LaBouche. And also Zen, I've started creating a non-for-profit organization called Zen Laughter, providing laughter therapy to improve well-being and reduce social isolation. So my YouTube channel is called Zen Laughter TV. And on that, you'll find a bit more info about laughter yoga and the benefits, and lots of handy tips and advice on how you can train your brain to be happy.
That sounds like a mission I want to get on.
So please subscribe to that if you want to find out, get the latest updates.
Perfect. Thanks, JC. JC, thank you so much for being such an amazing guest on The Changer. It's been such a delight. I'm going to sign off here. We're going to wish everybody a fabulous week, and we'll be back next week here on The Change Show. My name's Simon Phillips. Look forward to speaking to you then. Take care.
Thanks, Simon.